Uh-oh. You know it's bad news when this guy gets on the mic for an intro. It'll probably be some depressing, long-winded sob story about the fragility of existence and the fleeting joy of youth, or some pedantic dissertation on the importance of quantum entanglement in our daily lives. Let's hear from the other two guys. Get to the questions already. My name's Jake.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Matt.
And this is Qualified Nonsense.
Sorry, I was expecting another like 2 minutes of, I was going to take a drink, I was going
to
go get a
no,
snack.
No, exactly. That's I'm trying to catch you guys off guard.
Run to the restroom.
Keep you on your toes.
Thought I had time for a potty break.
Going to go fix dinner.
Or a siesta.
What's up, guys? Guys, going home. nothing much. What's going on with you?
You like swirl. That's a bad head.
Look, you're not lie, you've got yet. A big trip coming up, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be going to Portugal for my the company that I work for is having it's decentralized, so they don't have an office. So that means that once a year they go to a big offsite somewhere, and we're going to a fancy place in Portugal. And I've never been to Portugal, so I'm really looking forward to it.
It's a long-winded way of saying my company likes to cook the books, so we got to get some stuff off here.
Yeah, we got to
send everybody out of the country.
Yep, exactly. But yeah,
what made them decide on Portugal versus anywhere
I think
else?
So last year I wasn't there for it, but I think they alternate between the United States, somewhere in the United States and somewhere in Europe, because it's about split about 50-50 their employee base. So,
and they don't extradite there.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, and actually, interestingly enough, there was a lot of conversation about ensuring that people, when they travel, like people in with green card statuses that are traveling from the United States, make sure they have their ducks in a row so that they could get back into the United States from Portugal because of the powers that be in the current administration and all that nonsense. So
I've heard Portugal is a pretty easy country for Americans to retire in.
Retiring. I didn't yeah. know that. It's easy peasy for getting in and out. There's no visa. Like if you're staying less than 180 days, which I think is the case in a lot of European countries. If you're staying less than 180 days, you're fine to just go without a visa.
Krisha has a former coworker who like splits her time between the US and Portugal, like spends half the year in each country.
Really?
It's super That's affordable. Cool. Like, I mean, obviously everybody wants to talk about the Philippines or Thailand. You could live for a dollar a day, but Portugal is not too far off that list.
Yeah. Especially for a European country.
Have you been brushing up on your Portuguese?
I have not. I really should have been, but
oh no, a
seems. I know that's yes. I know that from Fogo de Chao, but that's the only. Yeah.
Portuguese is a weird language. I appreciate it. I like listening to it, but it's like a blend of Spanish and French, right? That's how I think of it. I'm sure that's a very crude way of putting it. But
Jake's going to be...
Well, an even cruder way I heard a comedian describe it is it sounds like a deaf French guy speaking Spanish.
Oh, jeez.
A deaf French guy speaking Spanish? That's good.
What about you guys? What are you up to this week? Or what have you been up to the last week?
Not going to Portugal. I'll tell you that.
Yep. It's pretty great up here. Way up here.
Must be nice. In your Elysium.
Yeah. Oh. Jake, your camera keeps going in and out.
Oh. I wonder why it's doing that.
Strobe effect.
Oots-a-cats. Brandon, how's it going with you?
Going good. Nothing super interesting. Yeah, did trivia last week.
Off to a great start.
Mother's Day was Sunday. Went to Chang's Mongolian Grill in Gresham.
That sounds like a great place to go for Mother's Day. Yeah, specifically.
I hadn't been there in years.
But Mom, Matt, I love you for the solid Matt price of $29.99. Anything the light touches, Mom, it's yours.
I don't know. It actually wasn't that expensive. It was like $17 a person or something, but maybe that's like lunch pricing or something like that.
Just don't ask any questions.
No, and why would you?
But yeah, I hadn't been there in years, and I mentioned it to Matt, and Matt said that he goes like monthly.
We tip what? We do. There's one on 122nd, which is just across the bridge, and I have a partner who really loves a Mongolian Grill, and there was one in Vancouver, and they just demolished it and built apartments. So we have been going to Chang's. It's great. Like Chang's. If you have the appetite for it, it's great. But like, I don't know. Lately, the last time I went to a buffet was probably in Vegas years and years and years ago. And going to one of these is just like, oh, it just like makes me uncomfortable walking in.
What did they do during COVID? Like, how did they survive? Did they just cook everything like pre-made and then?
They might have done. I don't know. They might have done takeout or to go.
I think they just regularly.
Or they're just like, what's Chinese? COVID? And
yeah,
and just kept business, kept that train rolling.
I used to go to the one in Savi Island when I worked at my uncle's kayak shop out there, and when I was like a teenager, that was the best place to go. They got the biggest bang for their buck. They could feed us for, you know, what was then probably $10 or something, and it was great. It was a great place to go to lunch.
I like, as a business owner and a business owner in the financial industry, I really want to see their margins, because yeah, like you said, Brandon, it's like $17.99 or whatever, and they have seafood and they have proteins and they have like, it's good food. I do question some of it, but it's like, it usually comes out good.
It's all frozen. They have a endless supply because it comes out, and even the proteins come out frozen.
And I don't think most people are, you know, doing return trips through the line. I think it's, I would probably guess the majority of people are only doing, you know, a single plate. So, I mean,
not me. I'm going. You better believe I'm at least getting two plates.
I used to have that mentality of like, oh, I got to make the first one count. And as much as I hate tapas, that's what I do now, because I was like, I want to try a little bit of everything, but I don't have to share it with a table. It's just for me. So I go up there with like this like little diabetic Weight Watchers portion, or, you know, senior citizen. I'm like, dude, this guy's been through like 7 times. Just get a bigger plate. It's like, yeah, but the concoctions.
So I have a question. They used to configure it so that you would go the proteins, then the vegetables, and then the sauces, and then the grill. Do they still do that? Do they still have that lineup?
Jake, you're suggesting this place enjoys change. It looks the same. They all look the same.
Change is almost in the name. If you add an E.
No, everything is the same. All the signage is the same. It's all bleached. Nice. Oh, all awesome. The sauces are in the exact same order. Everything's covered in
formica.
Yeah. It's excellent. It's fine.
So
yeah,
so
they hadn't updated the decor since the last time I was in there.
Since those Mongolians tore down that wall.
Hey. So Luke and I, my brother Luke and I would, we like tried to figure out like the best configuration. And so we would grab a bowl and then we would go down to the end where the sauces were, because you wanted the sauces on the bottom. Because once they flip it over and throw it on the grill,
oh, it's the trickle down.
It would trickle down. And if you put the garlic on at the very end, it would all burn to the griddle. So if you wanted it in like big pieces of garlic in that weren't burnt, you would like load up the garlic first and the sauces, and then you'd go back for the protein and then the vegetables.
It's everybody has their own method. Although the garlic, like I feel like all the sauces there, they say what they are.
Different things, but they're all just sort of the same.
Oh, this is all garlic sauce. You could put like 10 heaping like ladles of garlic on there and like maybe taste a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly feel like no matter what combination you do, it all kind of tastes the same.
Anyway, hey, Chang's, we love you. If you want to give us a shout out, like, give us some coupons.
That would be so funny. Chang's Mongolian Grill was like our only like.
We all have swivel chairs. We could be that chef. Wow.
I do remember when we were younger, going there like us as teens or early 20s or whatever, like loading up on like the cooking sherry, so it like
tried let to out a big fire. Flame when they threw it. Yeah, it ultimately never did. I don't think any of us ever really figured it out.
Well, I saw the. When I was watching them this time, they there were some younger people online in front of me, and they obviously had a lot of sauce or in their bowl, and I saw them like reserving some of the liquid from it. They weren't using it all.
Or did they put it on as they were cooking it? I've seen.
Yeah, I think that's what they were doing. They didn't put it on all at once,
just so it's not like a goosh.
Yeah,
that's just a waste. I mean, at least they Did you tap them on their shoulder and be like, hey, I've been doing this for 20 plus years. You want some tape?
Yeah, we don't have any Chang's down here. There is a Mongolian Grill, but I've never been to it.
At the risk of sounding like what you just said, turns out they all taste the same. You could probably, it's just a different name.
Yeah.
I do love a good Mongolian Grill. That's good. Mongolian's good.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm for it.
Is that true Mongolian food? Like, is that how I can't you went imagine. To Mongolia?
No, Mongolia, Mongolian cooking, there's a lot of what do they have there? Like they're sheep, like, and I guess bison, not bison.
Well, aren't they also very stew-y?
Like high elevation animals?
Yeah, and like
yaks.
Pretty rich, like big yaks, like big fatty.
Maybe that's what we're getting when they say it's beef. Why it's so cheap? We're just getting yak. You never know. But isn't Mongolian food like super like stew heavy and starchy?
I would imagine so.
It says the most common rural dish is cooked mutton.
There you go. Turns out they're Scottish. Or like New Zealand, yeah.
Even marmot.
Hmm. Ooh, how exotic.
Ooh.
All right. Well, let me research Mongolian cuisine during this break.
Should we take a little break? And I was trying to think of some transition for the Mongolian Grill.
We just can't do it like the king.
The king.
We've reached the great wall of this conversation and let us scale it to the other side where there will be questions waiting rather than Chinese soldiers.
Perfect.
Be right back.
This message is brought to you by DSPS. TikTok and YouTube Reels are great fun for memes, recipes, and shaking your booty. But did you know that there are natural ways to trigger your brain to release dopamine? Exercise, sunlight, and sleep are just a few ways for you to get that little boost of those good feels and energy. At Doomscroll Prevention Service, we want you to be your best self. So just take that D out and scroll a normal amount. DSPS is not responsible for poor messaging and is in need of marketing overhaul.
And welcome back. Feel free to drop us a line at qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or connect with us on our socials. Now's the time on the show where we take on Reddit's most pressing questions by finding the top trending questions and answering them here. First question comes to us from Ask Reddit, username Spawn130. They ask, what's a subtle sign that someone is completely full of shit, but most people don't catch it right away?
Shifty eyes and saying a lot.
I feel personally attacked with that comment.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I do both.
No. I know. Yeah. Like, so I don't mean it as attack. I know you guys do say that a lot, but I I think yeah, it's like when you're kind of pulling something out of your ass, you shift your eyes a lot. You don't really have a direction which you're going because you're trying not to.
Are you just talking about autism?
Yeah, what kind did you get? I got the kind where I don't look people in the eyes.
I kind of get what you're saying. Like if you ask somebody like a direct question or like a, you know, a question they should know or yes or no, and then they're kind of dodgy about it. Like,
I mean, we also did have a friend that was pretty good at this. So there's a couple other things. One also would be people that are, they try to meet it with such a fact that they put it out there, they dismiss it, and they walk away, or they change the subject really quick to like other things. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to focus on the fact checking of, mm-hmm. Hey, wait a minute. No, you just said, I forgot what it was. Cause we already changed the subject twice.
Yeah. There's a term for that where you just like start piling stuff on to kind of like get somebody lost in the weeds of what you're talking about.
Yeah. You just like send a barrage of information. I do think it's, and correct me if I'm wrong with comparing these two things, but I do think it's some version of like a fight or flight response with regard to feeling or seeming intelligent. I know I suffer from this sometimes where I just feel like not that I'm not an authority on whatever subject we're talking about, but oftentimes I'll monologue or talk at length to help myself get through the thought, I guess, or get myself around the thought, as opposed to trying to convince someone that I'm an expert in whatever the subject is. But like, there's also the effort of like wanting to contribute something worthwhile to the conversation, even when you don't necessarily have something worthwhile to contribute. I feel like it's easy to fall into the trap of,
you're monologuing now.
I know that, but that's actually my point, is that you can have a thought that's not well formed and still try to communicate it. But I find myself there often.
I think I
agree. I kind of do the same thing. Like where you try to
have a train of thought of
think about how you're presenting the information and wanting to make sure you're getting your point across clearly and in a way that makes it so that you don't sound like a complete dumbass. You know, you don't want to be like, oh, well, you put the thing in the other thing. And then,
yeah, sure.
I do think there's a fine line between being full of shit on something. And like Jake was kind of alluding to, of wanting, like, you know, maybe a little bit about it. So there might be some facts that are inaccurate and you kind of gloss over it, or you talk a little bit longer. And I think it also kind of digs a deeper hole by doing that, though, because then you just out yourself. Like, sure, if you're in a conversation and you want to have a piece to say and there's a bigger authority within that, it's really hard to stay quiet to it and say, oh, I have a value add, even though you might not.
Yeah.
But it's a voice on it. So I think there's a fine line between being full of shit and just, and knowing a little bit about it and wanting to be part of a conversation.
In business, I don't know how often, Matt, I imagine you're in meetings a lot. I don't know what your sort of day-to-day work looks like, Brandon, but in meetings, you oftentimes have people who want to take up airtime in order to just get recognition or get seen by whoever's in the room. And I do think that listening is a super valuable, attribute in those conversations or in those sorts of meetings or in any interaction really. But it is tough because if you just sit there quiet for too long, just listening, you feel like, well, maybe
they're wondering like why I'm here.
Right. Exactly. So there is some sort of like self validation.
It's a balance, occurring. Man. You don't want to open your mouth and look like a dum-dum either.
True. True.
Learn. It took there. A long time to learn that. I like surrounding myself with people that are smarter than me, but it's really hard to hold back too. Of, oh, I think I got something to say on this. Like that's where I find the most value is learning from people that are the experts in that.
Yeah.
And
I God guess gave thing, us 2 ears and 1 mouth, so we listen twice as much as we talk.
Thanks, Boomer.
Jesus Christ.
Saw that on Facebook.
No, I think one thing that was really hard for me to learn and find it very valuable now was it's okay to not know and still open your mouth and add value. But for me, it's with being surrounded by the experts in those fields. I pose what I think is my knowledge as a question so they can either confirm or deny and be like, oh, that's a great, actually, you know, great question, Jake. Glad you asked that. Like, I prefer to know a little bit about everything, not everything about one thing. So if you pose it in the right way, you can still kind of be full of shit and put your value add out there, but maybe pose it in a way where it still lends an opportunity for that individual to really put forth their knowledge on it.
Yeah. Back to the question, I think another thing that I think is I think the question is like more or less about identifying red flags. People who are not upfront about being incorrect or mistaken about something. There's this whole idea in business. It's like, you, especially with customer service, you never say like, sorry, or, you know,
I don't know,
admit fault. And I just think that that's so asinine. It just takes everybody back, everybody in the conversation back, because no one can admit when there's a mistake on the table.
That particular application, though, is a challenge because you're dealing with individuals that are likely frustrated or furious. So to say I don't know can further antagonize them, whether you think so or not. But I get it.
I think there's a way to say you don't know the answer to something. And, you know, if you say, I don't know, but I can find the answer for you, or I don't know, but I know somebody who does, and let me get them, or...
Right, like you call into customer support for a tech issue. Yeah. It's like, oh, you know what? Actually, this is not that's not the right department, and that's outside of my wheelhouse, but I can get you connected to the individuals that...
Like, I've been reading a lot of interview tips and stuff, and like one of them is if you don't know the answer to a question in an interview, it's okay to say that, but then say, here's how I would go about solving that or figuring that out, and then, you know, go from there. But so I don't think saying that, you know, you don't know is a bad thing.
That's good. Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's a good thing. What are some of the top answers?
Yeah, there's
survey says
extreme levels of confidence on topics they clearly have a headlines level grasp of, which I have asked people.
That's a good
that like somebody will say, oh, I read this, that, you know, this is going on in the news. Oh, and they just say, oh, really? What, you know, what's going on? And like, oh, I just read the headline.
I usually respond with like, oh, I didn't read the whole article, but
and this person says in response to that, an empty wagon makes a lot of noise.
Ooh, spicy.
That's a good one.
This person said, so everyone on Reddit.
It is
subtle put downs.
People with opinions that do it anonymously on social media. They're all full of shit.
Hilarious.
I also think like somebody leaving a negative review for a business or whatever, a service online, especially I think people are, when they're typing up their negative reviews, they're like the angriest they've ever been. And it's so funny to think of that, like some guy who's like, he just got his like Panda Express in his car and he's like writing, typing this thing furiously, like all red faced, and like that's just the maddest he's gonna be. I think it's so funny, but it's also like, you know, that people writing those reviews exaggerate so much, like I had to wait for 45 minutes and it was really like 10 minutes. And
we, you know, as a business owner, we get those, especially being in the financial industry, quite frequently. So I can show you guys some pretty funny ones. And when we first launched this, and we got our first one, I was so livid. I was going to respond and be like, well, you idiot. But I, what you can do, especially on Google, is you can go back through and see what they reviewed. So our very first one, like, had gone through and rated not one, not two, but three McDonald's. And I was like, oh, fuck you. Like, and they're all like, pickles, you know? And I was like, God, get it.
Was it here that we talked about how when dogs bark, every time they bark, they have to clench their buttholes? And the same thing happens with humans. So every time someone yells at you, they are also clenching their butthole while they're yelling. And so it's, if you think about that, it helps diffuse the situation pretty quickly. Or make
they're,
them
way, they're just way doing angrier. It for the Kegel exercise.
Yeah. I'm not actually angry. I just need to exercise my butt.
This person says everyone else in their life is a problem for them. Exes, family members, ex-friends, the person at the bank, the retail worker, their boss, their coworkers, etc. Yeah, so everything is everyone else's fault.
I kind of also feel that people who you know for a fact, like, don't or can't afford the way they project themselves. It's like, dude, you know, if you knew so much about quantum physics, you wouldn't be living on 82nd Street driving a, you know, 93 Nissan Maxima. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. Like, I think, but they'll show up and they'll like have a nice outfit on and they have some jewelry that's probably fake. So I don't know. I think it just shows that you're a big crock full of shit.
I also think when, I just thought of this, when people are conveniently forgetful about things, like, you know, you
didn't
ask
bring
them,
my wallet.
Like, well, that, or they say, oh, you know, you ask them a question like, oh, I don't remember. Or, I don't know. I forget. And it's like, you know perfectly damn well what the answer is.
You know damn well this is your visitation weekend, Janice.
You knew before you booked that cruise that we're... let's see. When an individual goes to great lengths to explain to you what kind of person they are, rather than letting you work that out for yourself by the way they behave, this usually means they're full of shit. They try to cultivate a specific image of themselves to everyone around them. They know it's not a true image, but the false impression will allow them to get whatever it is they want from you.
So I don't know how I feel about that one, because I think that's my knee-jerk reaction to someone presenting that information about themselves. But I also have learned over the past probably decade that I'm not very well in touch with my own sort of like spending time self-reflecting on like what kind of person I am, or like what, I guess that's it, what kind of person I am. I don't do a lot. And I think that there's a section of self-care that's about that I think is probably mostly beneficial for people. And so anyway, long story short is that I feel the same knee-jerk reaction to that person's comment. Like anyone who's like trying to explain themselves, who's done like a deep dive on themselves to then share that, I'm kind of like, eh, but I think there's probably something to be said about doing that and having.
I took this more in the way of like people who are like, oh, I'm such a good person, or I just want you to know that I'm actually really kind and I am not bad person at all.
You have to self-proclaim.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Well, but I think if you were like, yeah, my name's Brandon, I'm a little shy for, you know, I think like doing that is fine.
Bullshit.
But...
fuck that guy.
Yeah, right. Give him two drinks, he'll take his pants off.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you identify, ladies and gentlemen, who is full of shit.
Yeah.
And we say that with authority. So stick around because we know everything about this topic.
Yeah. One way to tell that somebody is not full of shit is when they start an advice podcast.
Yeah.
That's true. What's the next question?
Next question is
yeah, we already answered this one with authority.
We fucking nailed that one. Next.
This comes from No Stupid Questions, username Trying My Best Every Day.
As you should. Good for you.
They ask, do Americans really wake up and eat in the middle of the night? I've always seen this in American movies. I've always found it odd how they meet in the kitchen in the middle of the night to get a snack. Never heard of or seen anyone do it in my country.
Which, it, did they say where?
Yeah, what no. country? You know what? I call bullshit on this.
No. Probably one not as great as ours. Poor. No, but...
Jesus.
Don't have enough food to eat in the middle of the night. What's wrong with
I
you?
I think... I do... So, I get where this person's coming from. It is definitely portrayed in movies. I've never woken up in the middle of the night and been like, I need a snack. However, I have been up late and I eat late into the night.
Yeah.
I've never walked to the fridge.
Like our second job in high school. We would stay up late and then get a second wind of like Doritos and Mountain Dew.
I've never woken up from a dead sleep and be like, I need to go get that turkey. Like,
I know.
Brandon's got a different opinion of this.
No.
I read in Reader's Digest that.
No, I don't do this, but I do know somebody who, they don't listen, but I'm going to just keep them anonymous just because. But they like bring like cookies and snacks to bed with them so that they can. Like,
so they don't have to get out of bed.
They'll wake up in the middle of the night and eat them.
Huh. Like. That's interesting,
but yeah, I've heard that.
What's their dental situation?
Well, I don't know about their dental situation, but their diabetes situation is not good.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I don't think I have either. I'm pretty lucky still in that I'm 40, but I still sleep through the night. I don't generally wake up. Granted, I don't sleep a normal amount generally.
I feel like if I were to wake up in the middle of the night and eat something, I would just be awake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it would just be like, okay, I'm up now.
Yeah, that would
be breakfast
and then I'd be up.
I completely understand where the question's coming from because there are way too many movies and TV shows of people just like shuffle into the I'm almost finished with The Sopranos. And I think
How many times does he get up?
Exactly. And they're like, he's always at the fridge. I think that show he's at the fridge or eating more than they're actually doing like crime, but like they portray it so much of just like, also in that show specifically, he'll just pull out of the fridge any sort of wrapped cured meats. I was like, I don't have that in my house. I've never had that in my house.
Well, that's also a very Italian thing.
Exactly. But... I'm also not a
well, do you think, you know, the fact that it's in so many movies and TV shows, it's like a screenwriter shorthand for the character not being able to sleep or like trying to work through a problem, and like just having somebody sitting awake in bed, isn't that interesting? So like, oh, let's just have him go up, grab something, you know, get up and grab something out of the fridge.
It does add you're right, it does add action and
rather action, than some guy rolling
action-packed.
Some guy rolling over and looking at his phone
yeah, just
doom scrolling in bed. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. Is my brother-in-law used to be a bodybuilder, and he used to get up at numerous times in the night to have like full meals because he was consuming so many calories and working out so rigorously, and.
But it was all the same thing too, right? It wasn't anything fun. It was chicken and rice and whatever.
It was whatever was left over in the refrigerator. And so Anna would said that he would like clean out the fridge, like over the course of the night there'd be like leftovers, and then like the next morning there wouldn't be very many leftovers left. And his partner listens to the show, so you know who you are. But thanks for listening.
There is a period of time where I got serious, not about lifting, but in the gym and trying to stay on a like a meal schedule. And it was just for the sake of losing weight, but also gain muscle mass, which meant you had to eat quite a bit. It would like make me nauseous, like thinking about food. I was like, oh, I have to go and eat this other thing every 3 hours. Like, can I just have like one big Philly cheesesteak in the afternoon? Like, what's the difference here?
So, I mean, I guess to answer the question, we don't do that, but other people are, I guess.
And it also might be like a cinematic crutch.
Yeah.
In order to,
I guess this person says, I've never done it. Now I do snack when I'm staying up too late at 2 a.m., but I've never gotten out of bed to get anything other than water. And I've done that. Like, I'll get up to drink a glass of water.
Oh, for sure. There is nothing. I said this before. There's nothing better than like, I normally have my water bottle with me, but like just ice cold water at 2 a.m., especially if you wake up and you're like, God, this room is so hot. If you roll over and you just like, oh God, it feels like, you know, the, like the commercials for like Aquafina is like from the springs of the mountain. It's like, it feels like one of those. Here's what it feels like to chew test five gum or to chew five gum.
When you're in the middle of the night, when you drink water, you can't help but just going, ah.
I just roll back over and be like, that's the good stuff.
I bet your wife really loves that.
this person says mostly it's a contrivance for people to be up and about in the middle of the night. And then the person responds saying, this I think it's a plot device, but it can also be a bit of shorthand for the character is stressed and anxious and can't get to sleep. So
yeah,
does Reddit say
it's
what
more
time
cinematic than getting up to take a piss?
Yeah, I was gonna say like, and it's like there's also a bunch of that, like somebody gets up to go take a pee. Have you guys ever been woken up in the middle of the night to go numero doce?
Yes.
Due?
I mean, only when I'm stomach sick. I wake up and I try not to shit.
Yeah, it's usually an emergency situation. It's
exactly.
Not...
Or like you just have stomach pain. You're like, oh.
Yes.
So... Kind of going back to,
I want to see, the Venn diagram of the nights that you eat Taco Bell and those nights and see how big the overlap is.
It's just a circle.
But like going back to Brandon, when you're saying like, if I woke up to go down to the fridge to eat, I would just be awake. I've had those nights happen where you have to go, you know, the stomach troubles.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you're sitting there and you're just like, fuck, now I'm awake. It's like, and that's not as enjoyable as eating either. Enjoy, like, eating is like somewhat therapeutic. This one's like, oh, it's like, you have to wake up everybody in the house by flushing three times.
Where's my Philly cheesesteak?
Gotta eat those.
I've got that cheap dopamine addiction where if I look at my phone very much, I'll be awake again, and so I avoid looking at my phone even to look at the time. Like I don't care.
So here's the thing: my cousin did. So my cousin played football in Japan professionally for 4 years, and they have this huge thing over there about not having any technology in rooms where you sleep. So he got in the habit of actually setting his cell phone outside of his room, which is a popular thing to do over there. It's like, I don't know if I could do that. I mean, surely I could, but like we're so entrenched and trained.
But do you mean just because like before bed you're,
it's a distraction,
or when you wake up you like check your email or text messages or whatever?
Yeah, or like, oh, I'm having a hard time sleeping, I'll just roll over and I'll doom scroll till my eyes get heavy again. But
yeah,
apparently
I do try to avoid, frankly, I try to avoid my phone as much as possible, because when I am on it, I just tend to, you know, digitally twiddle my thumbs. Yeah.
I do find when I'm actually reading like a paper book or comic or whatever, like something that's not on a Kindle or on my phone, I am able to fall asleep faster than if I'm just sitting there on my phone. I'll just sit there and just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Whereas like as soon as I'm actually reading a book, I'll be like, okay, I'll just get to the end of this chapter and go to bed. And then I'm like ready for bed.
Yeah.
Unless well, there's some you
science.
Can't sleep.
There's some science there.
And you plug on some QN, we'll get you back to sleep. Just
oh yeah, we'll get
you. Do you guys sleep with headphones at all?
Yes.
Uh-uh.
I should show you. I wear a headband every night that has speakers in it, so they're flat, so I can lay on my sides. It's great.
Great. Alternatively, you could chronically undersleep for like 15 years, and then anywhere you go, you can fall asleep. So. And you don't need headphones, you don't need anything.
Or do that. Now, there was a comment made on this podcast a couple episodes ago about like, oh, don't you guys ever drive with no music in the car to be alone with your thoughts? And that's like lately the worst thing possible. So that's why I listen to music. I don't want to be alone with my own thoughts. That sucks.
Yeah, this guy's an asshole.
I don't. Like
he's a big crack of shit.
I like listening to podcasts and stuff, so I don't think I could fall asleep to them.
I listen to because ambient music. It's like,
I thought you said animated like, music, like anime music, like
like what was that CD they always sold on TV in the 90s that was like Pure Moods? You remember? Oh, it was nice. Like with like Enya and stuff, and like
yeah.
sail away.
That one's pretty. Away. That one goes hard. You need like. Who can say whether?
Oh yeah! I always called that death music. I was like, "It's like, mom, that's death music."
That's what they play. She's
like,
no,
it's pretty.
I was like, "Ah, yeah." Like there was like some song like that,
or the Peruvian flute.
Yeah,
well, you guys listen to saying, Aurora. Oh, go ahead. Do you know the artist Aurora? She does modern. Like Nordic versions of Enya. It's like
a lady that sings with her tongue cut out.
Yeah. And it's really lovely.
If you've ever watched the original Gladiator, you've probably heard her.
I feel like that's like a lot of that's a lot of Hans Zimmer's music is like he has the like
woman, oh, I know.
No tongue singing.
A wailing woman.
Yeah. Like, I just watched Mission Impossible 2 a week or so ago, and, like, that was the soundtrack, and it was, like, just like, And then, yeah, like Dune is the same thing.
Yeah. Show it all. I think that's an episode.
Yeah.
Let's play them off with there. Some
just
whatever that's called.
Track.
We'll play them all for listening.
Hans Zimmer, he probably gives us permission.
Probably.
I don't think there's
probably he's doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
Actually, I mean,
I don't think there's any danger of whatever we just said.
If it's less than 30 seconds, we could use it.
Anyway.
Well, please support the show over at Patreon at patreon.com/qualifiednonsense. Watch us over on YouTube at youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. Please feel free to send any questions or comments to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or hit us up on our socials found in the episode description. After you've done all that, please also rate, review, share, like, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. We'll see you back here next week for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense.
You said support the show, and I definitely heard you say abort the show. And I was like, yeah, it's about that time.
Support them or abort them.
Gotcha. You made it to another end of an episode. Go get you something to eat in the fridge.